Chapter 10. Then Tom Chist crept to bed, trembling, shuddering, bathed in sweat, his heart beating like a trip hammer, and his brain dizzy from that long, terror-inspired race through the soft sand in which he had striven to outstrip he knew not what pursuing horror. For a long, long time he lay awake, trembling and chattering with nervous chills, and when he did fall asleep it was only to drop into monstrous dreams in which he once again saw ever enacted, with various grotesque variations, the tragic drama which his waking eyes had beheld the night before. Then came the dawning of the broad, wet daylight, and before the rising of the sun Tom was up and out of doors, to find the young day dripping with the rain of overnight. His first act was to climb the nearest sand hill, and to gaze out toward the offing, where the pirate ship had been the day before. It was no longer there. Soon afterward Matt Abrahamson came out of the cabin, and he called to Tom to go get a bite to eat, for it was time for them to be away fishing. All that morning the recollection of the night before hung over Tom just like a great cloud of boding trouble. It filled the confined area of the little boat and spread over the entire wide spaces of sky and sea that surrounded them. Not for a moment was it lifted. Even when he was hauling in his wet and dripping line with a struggling fish at the end of it, a recurrent memory of what he had seen would suddenly come upon him, and he would groan in spirit at the recollection. He looked at Matt Abrahamson's leathery face, at his lantern jaws cavernously and stolidly chewing at a tobacco leaf, and it seemed monstrous to him that the old man should be so unconscious of the black cloud that wrapped them all about. When the boat reached the shore again he leaped scrambling to the beach, and as soon as his dinner was eaten he hurried away, to find the Dominie Jones. He ran all the way from Abrahamson's hut to the parson's house, hardly stopping once, and when he knocked at the door he was panting and sobbing for breath. The good man was sitting on the back kitchen doorstep smoking his long pipe of tobacco out into the sunlight, while his wife within was rattling about among the pans and dishes in preparation of their supper, of which a strong, porky smell already filled the air. Then Tom just told his story, panting, hurrying, tumbling one word over another in his haste, and Parson Jones listened, breaking every now and then into an ejaculation of wonder. The light in his pipe went out and the bowl turned cold. "And I don't see why they should have killed the poor black man," said Tom, as he finished his narrative. "Why, that is very easy enough to understand," said the good reverend man. "'Twas a treasure box they buried." In his agitation Mr. Jones had risen from his seat, and was now stumping up and down, puffing at his empty tobacco pipe, as though it were still alight. "A treasure box!" cried out Tom. "Aye, a treasure box! And that was why they killed the poor black man. He was the only one, d'ye see, besides they two who knew the place where it was hid, and now that they've killed him out of the way, there's nobody but themselves knows. The villains! Tut, tut, look at that now!" In his excitement the Dominie had snapped the stem of his tobacco pipe in two. "Why then," said Tom, "if that is so, 'tis indeed a wicked, bloody treasure, and fit to bring a curse upon anybody who finds it." "'Tis more like to bring a curse upon the soul who buried it," said Parson Jones, "and it may be a blessing to him who finds it. But tell me, Tom, do you think you could find the place again where it was hid?" "I can't tell that," said Tom. "'Twas all in among the sand humps, d'ye see, and it was at night into the bargain. Maybe we could find the marks of their feet in the sand," he added. "'Tis not likely," said the reverend gentleman, "for the storm last night would have washed all that away." "I could find the place," said Tom, "where the boat was drawn upon the beach." "Why, then, that's something to start from, Tom," said his friend. "If we can find that, then maybe we can find whither they went from there." "If I was certain it was a treasure box," cried out Tom Chist, "I would rake over every foot of sand betwixt here and Henlopen to find it." 'Twon't be like hunting for a pin in a haystack,' said the Reverend Hillary Jones. As Tom walked away home, it seemed as though a ton's weight of gloom had been rolled away from his soul. The next day he and Parson Jones were to go treasure hunting together. It seemed to Tom as though he could hardly wait for the time to come. The Book of Pirates,